Hello and welcome to the Saltcast. My name's Ryan Johnson, and we are glad to have you guys on today's episode. Today, we've got another special guest with us. But first, we can welcome back Paul Johnson, who is our VP of Operations here at Peisner Johnson. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be back on the podcast today, and we got a good one in store for everybody, so.
Yeah. And today, special guest is Jeff Bickle with Tanner, CPA here in Utah. And I think we'll just begin with an introduction from you, Jeff. So if you could tell us kind of your personal story, kind of your professional story, a little bit about Tanner and what you do there, and kind of how you're introduced to Peisner Johnson.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on today. I didn't move down to Utah until I came to college, but ended up graduating with a master's in tax degree from a school down here, Brigham Young University, back in kind of the mid-90s, and joined it was Coopers & Lybrand at the time. Of course, we merged with PW in 1998, but spent about 12 years with PwC, and then joined Tanner back in about 2005, so I've been with Tanner for about 15 years. Tanner has a great story. It's been around literally since about 1940, and so we're probably the fifth generation of partners at the firm. But the exciting thing about that is over the last 10 years with, as you know, how robust the Utah economy has been, not only do we provide kind of core, you know, audit and assurance services and tax, you know, tax services, but we've added service lines for international tax, a R&D credit specialist. We've got information security people to go in and do IT risk assessments and penetration testing studies for people. We've got an advisory group that deals with, you know, leadership development, succession planning, things like that. So it's been an exciting 15 years that I've been here. I'm a tax partner at Tanner, as well as I've served as the managing partner also for about the last 10 years. So to your question, Ryan, about, Peisner Johnson, so I probably knew of Andy Johnson all the way back about the time I joined Tanner. Of course, the really large firms have specialty groups. You know, PwC certainly had big SALT specialty groups. But when you move into more of a local firm environment, then, you know, you go out and find boutique firms that provide services that you probably could have gotten at the larger firm with their specialty practices before. And so somehow I got introduced to Andy, likely through an alumni network. I think we both graduated from BYU back in the day. And I was so grateful to find somebody, you know, a group of people who dealt solely with kind of state and local tax issues. And so we've had a chance to refer Peisner Johnson into quite a number of our clients who've got, sales tax issues. And you've been a tremendous partner for some of those clients.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Coming from a long line of history in accounting, we could definitely relate to being more client-based and helping clients in any way that you possibly can, right? Something at Peisner Johnson that we've been doing is really focusing on helping provide some peace of mind to clients. And so, we share in that light, I feel, that, our best interest is helping and serving clients and providing them with whatever help that they need. Obviously, in your world, a little bit different than Peisner Johnson because we specialize in sales and use tax, and that's all we do. But having a partner in Tanner and providing these other audit services, assurance services, has been really fantastic. And we look forward to our continued partnership, but also look forward to our continued working relationship in that regard as well. One of the things that our listeners are aware of, and that something that we talk about quite a bit, is this what's next call. And we encourage everybody to go to our website and schedule a what's next call. And on these what's next calls, we like to provide peace of mind when it comes to sales and use tax. We talk a little bit on these what's next calls when it comes to income tax, but because that's not our expertise and specialty, we don't really dive into much detail. And so one thing that I wanted to ask you and kind of get your perspective on is when you're talking with prospective clients, even existing clients, I suppose, in some instances, there'll be certain topics that are income or accounting issues or state issues to be aware of. Are there any common reoccurring themes or messages that you talk with your current clients about?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. You know, it's interesting, but from the beginning of my career, one topic still seems to rise to the surface pretty frequently, and that tends to be entity choice. When you think about, you know, how businesses are organized and the differences in how both the businesses are taxed, the owners are taxed, and things like that, we spend a lot of time talking about certainly the benefits of having a flow-through entity. You know, S corporations, where there's opportunities to maybe avoid some self-employment tax and have some of the other earnings come out free of self-employment tax. Partnerships and LLCs taxed as partnerships certainly offer a tremendous amount of flexibility in terms of, you know, partner compensation, giving employees, you know, things like profits interest to allow them to share in future earnings of the firm without having a current taxable event. There's a lot of, you know, basically being able to give investors preferred returns and stuff like that. So a lot of flexibility with partnerships. But something that's maybe not as well known is that, you know, C corporations certainly kind of went out of favor quite a number of years ago. People are always nervous about the double taxation,
right.
You know, the entity level tax. And then, of course, if you pay a dividend, you've got the shareholder level tax. And so people shied away from those for many years because the corporate tax was so high. And then the individual tax was so high that it didn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, in 2017, when the corporate tax rates were lowered down to effectively 21% from a federal perspective, then all of a sudden those became kind of back in favor, particularly with a code section, Internal Revenue Code Section 1202. And it's not a really well-known code section, but basically says if you have, you know, basically a startup corporation, if you've got stock that was issued to you by the corporation, if you're kind of one of the original investors and it, you know, it doesn't exceed a certain value threshold, if you hold those shares for a five-year period, you can actually sell those shares free of any capital gains tax. 100% of that gain is excluded. And so it's interesting, you know, we're always having these conversations with people, for example, who have been operating as LLCs and they believe an exit might be more than 5 years away. You know, we've actually seen people convert those entities to C corporations with an expectation that they'll be able to avoid a future gain on that sale. And so, as you guys know, again, with the robust, you know, kind of business thriving in Utah, there's a lot of companies that are positioning themselves for exits. And so we talk a lot about entity choice and how those should be structured. So
do you help those clients in doing that structure change? So if somebody were to come to you, a lot of our clients are, I would say, are LLCs. We do have a number of corporations, but especially a lot of startups, a lot of new entities, they're forming an LLC. So would you help them in migrating from an LLC to a corporation to kind of help structure that future sale?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we work very closely with a number of the law firms here in town, the attorneys, to help draft documents and do those conversions where it makes sense. Certainly doesn't make sense for everybody, if they're expecting an exit maybe to come before a five-year period. But we do assist, you know, with things like that as well as planning around. It's interesting when, like some of the companies that you work with, some of these, you know, maybe smaller companies that take on investor money for the first time, right? There's a lot of decisions that have to be made, you know, around that time. And so it's kind of interesting seeing the evolution of some of these startup companies.
That's fantastic.
I'll tell you another thing that really we talk about a lot right now, particularly for what's next is, again, nobody can really prognosticate the future, but with the change in administration back in Washington, there's obviously a lot of chatter. Certainly there was a lot of proposals in the campaign process about what tax rates would look like going forward.
Potential
increases in individual tax rates, potential increases in corporate tax rates. And kind of the biggest one that we're thinking about is a potential increase in the capital gains rate. So if that long-term capital gains rate really got pushed up closer to where our individual ordinary income rates are, that would dramatically change the trajectory of a business in terms of a future sale. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people, you know, anticipating maybe selling businesses sooner rather than later to try to get in before those capital gains rates go up. And so that is a huge topic of conversation right now.
Yeah, that's huge, especially if you're talking about, a sale and potentially retiring off of that sale, and now all of a sudden you have to pay quite a bit higher in corporate taxes. It's something that we talk about on the sales tax side as well, because when entities try and close business and sell to another entity, the company acquiring them will come and do a due diligence, and they'll want to look at that exposure from a sales tax perspective. And so, if they weren't registered and weren't collecting tax, and now they're trying to sell, and you have this liability that's on the book, so you take this golden balloon that you thought you were gonna, or golden parachute that you thought you're gonna ride out on, and now it's full of holes. It's tough, so.
No, I really appreciate you bringing that up, Paul. That was actually going to be my third topic, is that we, startup companies, you guys have seen this as well, but funding is tight, right? Cash is king. And so, investing in the process of implementing systems in order to, basically collect sales tax from your customers, it's a little bit painful maybe to spend that initial upfront cash outlay. But what we tell people, and actually we have a transaction advisory practices as well, that they're obviously working with these companies both on buy side and sell side to try to determine what those potential liabilities are. And I have to tell you, when we get on a call where somebody has not gotten compliant with sales tax obligations, I mean, buyers are asking for pretty significant sized escrow amounts in order to hold back in order to get them compliant. And so we're definitely encouraging and making referrals to Peisner Johnson for people to go ahead and get compliant now. I think what people don't recognize sometimes is, we were just talking about this yesterday in a conversation with our tax group. People don't recognize sometimes that it's a little bit painful maybe to get registered and start collecting. But to the extent that you don't collect that sales tax from your customers, that becomes a liability of your company and or the owners in the future. And so that's just reducing some future transaction proceeds from you. But in reality, your customers really should be paying that. So I'd be
So true.
interested. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear from you guys, how often and how realistic it really is, especially for somebody selling a tangible product to lots and lots of customers. It's not really realistic for them to go back and collect that sales tax later.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Getting registered, from a sales tax perspective is a lot more important, I think, than sometimes clients realize.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talk about that quite a bit because people, view it as a huge burden and a huge cost. And so, like, I'm not going to get registered. I'm not going to bother with it. But when you try and sell the company, or you try and, just get compliant, then you realize, man, had I just turned the tax on in my shopping cart, or had I just initiated this registration, I could have saved myself hundreds of thousands of, if not more, in tax that comes out of your own pocket. And so it sales tax is designed to be a trust tax. It's designed to be the tax you collect from on the transaction from the customer, not something that you should have to pay out of your own pocket just by way of doing business. But people don't always view it that way until it's oftentimes too late. So
No, that's a great point.
that's fantastic. Any other topics or accounting issues that you come across that people in just in general should be aware of outside of those three?
Yeah, I've spoken mostly to tax, but when you think about, for example, just having a good set of GAAP financials, I think it's wise for companies really sooner than later, especially if they're contemplating some future transaction, to get their financials in a place where they're GAAP compliant. I think the other thing that happens in transactions is somebody believes they're going to go out to market, and then somebody comes in and maybe starts doing a Q of E or some type of due diligence on their company, and they might find that there's adjustments to EBITDA that they were not anticipating because they never, went to a CPA or a kind of a competent financial professional to make sure that the things that they were doing were really according to generally accepted accounting principles. And so, what we do is we like to make sure that we're giving advice such that people aren't surprised when either the LOIs aren't where they expect them to be or otherwise. And so, I think that's something that, again, certainly smaller startup companies, are a little bit hesitant, I think, to spend too much money on infrastructure, but those can really be key items when a transaction arises that can, significantly reduce the purchase price. And so we obviously like to avoid that. And the final thing I'll mention, Paul, just because, it pertains to a lot of individuals as well, is when you get kind of that next step, right, is when you do consummate a transaction and you know, you're going to, you know, the owners of the businesses are finding it a really benefit, right, from the sale. We need to think really hard about individual tax planning and what we can do in order to help these owners retain as much cash as they possibly can after the sale. And so we like to work with, you know, owners as well from an individual tax standpoint to figure out what we can do to optimize their ultimate after tax cash.
That's a great point. Not only, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, the individual. And so, yeah, there are things from a corporate or company perspective that ought to be considered and making certain that your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. But at the end of the day, you want to make certain that you got money in the pocket and are taken care of personally. And so that's wise. That's awesome that Tanner helps both on the corporate and the individual level and would be willing and happy to help anybody.
Well, Jeff, you know, thank you so much for being on with us today. And, you know, the more conversations we have like this, you know, I created a meme for our LinkedIn page a little while ago that said, peace of mind isn't found by searching the internet. And I think we all agree by that, you know, how many times I've searched my symptoms and found I've got some sort of, you know, terminal cancer, you know, every time. But a lot of times it helps just to talk to a specialist. Someone who could help you out, answer those questions, because you can look up, you know, we see it with sales tax all the time. You know, people are Googling these things and finding out, you know, they're even more confused than they were before. They have no idea what next steps they should take. But so, yeah, I really appreciate your time. And I'll provide some information, some links, so you can learn more about Tanner and Jeff and his team. And see if they're a great fit for you and your needs. But with that, thank you so much, Paul and Jeff, and we hope to see you guys on another one.
Thank you both. Appreciate being on today.
Yeah, thank you indeed.